Hello, everyone. We're going to look today at the calling of Matthew in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus invites a tax collector to be his disciple. So this is 5:27. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he arose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So remember, this scene comes in the context of some conflicts that Jesus has with the Pharisees and scribes. They first appeared when Jesus healed a paralytic and first forgave him of his sin. And of course, the Pharisees and scribes were offended by that. They said only God could forgive sins. So this is sort of the next conflict that he has with the scribes and the Pharisees. So first we have to start with this person that he calls, who's a tax collector. This would have been a kind of a toll station there in Galilee, probably taxing in particular the business of the fishermen themselves. It's estimated that taxes back then came up to about a third of a person's income, which is about what it is today in America. But it's worth noting that it was all the more odious because those taxes went to a pagan government, and so Jews would have been offended by that. And then also, most of the tax collectors were corrupt. So they get lumped in, tax collectors, or as they're called in the King James Bible, publicans. Publicans and prostitutes get lumped in together. So that shows you what most people thought of tax collectors. They were toadies for Rome, and they were exploiters of their fellow Jews. He's called Levi here. He's called Matthew in other Gospels. Most scholars think it's the same person. And in the Gospel of Luke in particular, there's lots of tax collectors. So maybe most famously, the last tax collector that Jesus interacts with in the Gospel is Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was probably, the boss of Levi. In other words, Levi was a local tax collector, but Zacchaeus was the regional manager of all the tax collectors. So he was a really important figure. And so notice the scandal and the paradox. Jesus has called some probably more or less middle-of-the-road pious Jews to be his disciples who are fishermen, but now he calls one of the worst to be one of his disciples. This would have been shocking to everybody, and probably it would have been most shocking to Levi himself. There's a great painting by the painter Caravaggio which shows Jesus calling to Levi, and Levi's going, like, it's a look like, "You're calling me?" That should probably stand out to us, his own shock that he could be a disciple of this Jesus. It says that he left everything. So he left his post, he left the job, it would seem. But it also seems to indicate he left his possessions. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, there's a lot of talk of the rich and the impossibility, the virtual impossibility of them being saved. There's a lot of interactions with actual tax collectors who would have been very wealthy. And it's worth pointing out that Jesus will say it's almost impossible for tax collectors to be saved, yet here are the rich to be saved, yet here is a tax collector who is saved. Jesus usually depicts the rich as self-sufficient, hard-hearted towards the needs of others, and more in love with the security that their money brings than with God. But again, we see here Levi responding and becoming a disciple. It's as if Jesus is saying, even they can be saved. And then, of course, Levi hosts a party. He's so excited, he's so elated that he hosts a large party for his friends and for Jesus' disciples. And if you've ever been to an awkward wedding where there's mixing of different people, this is probably what this was like. You have the mixing here of people who probably never mixed. That often happens around Jesus. And in particular, some among the group were really offended at others, particularly the Pharisees. Now, remember, the Pharisees tried to apply the rules of cleanness that applied to priests, to everybody, and they tried to practice that themselves. And here were a bunch of people who didn't do that, so it was not appropriate for them to eat. So it would be assumed that if the Pharisees were there, they didn't eat. Probably they were outside complaining rather than going in and being a part of the festivities. But of course, this meal with sinners is precisely a part of Jesus' deliberate plan. It's not just something he's compromising about, something he's sort of fudging on. But no, this is what he's all about, is having these sorts of meals. I think this meal and all the meals in the Gospel of Luke are pointing to the Last Supper, which is a meal with sinners where Jesus gives his body and blood for their forgiveness and for their restoration to fellowship, which points to the Supper of the Lamb, right? The marriage feast of the Lamb. And in fact, in the next verses, Jesus will call himself the bridegroom. So I think all these things need to be kept in mind, that Jesus went around having parties where he was inviting everybody who would come to feast with him, fellowship with him, so that they could be a part of the wedding feast at the end of history. And notice, too, how important table fellowship continued to be in the church. Remember, in the book of Galatians, Paul has a whole section on how Peter failed in regard to table fellowship. Peter, who spent time with Jesus, who ate with sinners, was not eating with Gentiles because he was worried about what other people thought about him compromising himself. So even Peter needed to be recalled to the teachings of Jesus that he experienced firsthand. And then Jesus mentions, he uses this image of sickness. He says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Now remember, Jesus has just healed a paralytic and connected that man's sickness with his sin. Before he heals his physical sickness, he forgives his sin. So it's not just an accident that Jesus uses that image here. Of course, Jesus makes it clear in other places that not all sickness is the result of sin, but at least in the case of the paralytic, it is. And now Jesus uses this general analogy. Sickness is like sin. And Jesus came to what a doctor does for sickness, get rid of sickness, make a person whole. Jesus does for sinners. He calls them to repentance. And of course, repentance is one of the major themes that Luke is going to emphasize, both in the Gospel of Luke and in Acts. He can summarize the message being the message of Jesus and repentance from sin. So repentance, again, is this radical changing of mind shift where we reorient our whole lives around being a disciple of Jesus and learning from him. Finally, just it's worth noting, too, that Jesus, he heals people. He heals them physically. He goes to feasts. He feeds people. He's not just interested in saving our souls to go to heaven. He's interested in restoring the entire person, body and soul, to fellowship with him and his Father, so that they can then live in the world with their bodies in a way that's pleasing to God and honoring to him. So may we have the repentance that leads to wholeness, that leads to being restored to fellowship, and may we live out enacted parables like Jesus of invitation to fellowship with him and the Father in the wedding feast that's to come. Amen.